In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, as I just mentioned, the faithful have been very generous in our capital campaign, such that we have been very impressed. But the purpose of this sermon is to point out the whole purpose for which we do all these things, the whole purpose for which we have this beautiful church, and we want to maintain the church, for which we have the school, and we want to form the children, and that is the salvation of your souls. We priests, we want everyone in this parish to go to heaven. We want everyone to save their souls. We don't want to appear before the judgment seat of our Lord, Father McBride, Father Flannery, Father May, myself. We don't want to appear and have our Lord say, well, yes, you were at St. Isidore's and you saved many souls. There are also these souls in hell that lost their souls. No, my dear faithful, we want every single one of us here at St. Isidore's one day to meet in heaven, to be rejoined together in heaven. One of the most important prayers of the priest is, dear Lord, of all the souls that you have given me to take care of in this parish, make it be that not a single one of them is lost. Not a single one of them loses his soul. And if there's one thing that a priest worries about more than anything else, it is those souls in his parish who are in a habitual state of mortal sin, those souls in the parish who have a habit of the commission of mortal sins. And by this, I mean that mortal sins are committed on a regular basis, in a predictable way, in a regular way. Perhaps they're committed once a day. Perhaps they're committed once a week. Perhaps they're committed once a month. But the point is, it's happening according to a set pattern. It's not something that happens in a blue moon, you know, that it takes a really special set of circumstances for it to happen. No, it happens regularly. And the soul finds himself or herself, when he goes to confession, typically confessing mortal sins. And if this is happening, well, I think we all know the reason for which it is usually happening. 99% of the time, it's because of sins of impurity. We know what Our Lady of Fatima said to the three children of Fatima. Most souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh. Most of the people who are in hell right now and who will be in hell for all eternity are in hell because they were choosing sexual pleasure over God. That is why they are there. And perhaps they started off with bad habits in their youth, sins of self-abuse. Perhaps in our modern day, with the advent of these technological devices and the complete penetration of our world with filth and pornography, they became addicted to viewing impure content. And as a result, they have this habit that's part of their life where they regularly fall into mortal sin. What are they exchanging heaven for? They're exchanging heaven for just these moments of pleasure, of bodily pleasure. They're exchanging God for these moments of bodily pleasure. They are putting their souls in a state of continual damnation. Lately, I've been reading a couple of books. There are two books that I've been reading, and these books present to me as a priest two different perspectives on the hearing of confessions. One is a book written in 1962, a book that I think I'm going to throw away. It was written by a monk who is a priest, and he's advising priests about the hearing of confessions, and he says to the priest that they should never instill fear in the penitents about their salvation. That he should never make them feel like they're going to lose their soul. And then the other book that I've been reading is a biography of the Curie of Ars. And in this book, of course, the Curie of Ars spent like 18 hours a day in the confessional for 40 years. And this book tells many stories about St. John Marie Vianney. One of them is how sometimes he would say to a soul who came to him in confession, the soul would make the confession, and at the end he would say to the soul, "My friend, you're lost. You're damned." And the soul would be shocked to hear this from this holy man. And the soul would walk away and would say, "Can it be true? Can it be true that I'm going to lose my soul? That I'm going to go to hell for all eternity? That I'm going to lose God? Can this be the case?" And the soul would reflect and would reach a determination, a state of determination, and say to himself, "I must not let this happen. I must change." And of course, it ultimately would have a good effect on these souls. And they would change their lives and often save their souls because of their contact with this holy priest. I want to emphasize that it doesn't matter how long we have had a habit of sin, how long we've been committing mortal sins, if we've been committing them since we were a child, or if it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. We don't have to commit them, and we can overcome them. We can overcome these sins. When are we going to do it? When is the time to do it? Well, St. Paul answers that question today in today's epistle. He says, the time of our salvation is today. Today is that time. Now is that time for us to save our souls. This is the time that God has given us to save our souls. This Lent of 2025 is the time for us to completely be done with our habits of mortal sin. Well, if we have that determination, how are we going to go about it? How are we going to fix these habits? I think it's really important for us to understand that if we are talking about changing our habits, really what we're talking about is changing our life. A habit is something that's part of our life. It's something we do on a regular basis. And if we want that thing to stop, if we want to do something else, we have to change our life. There is no other way. We have a pattern in our life that's been going on for a certain period of time, and we have to introduce a new pattern. And to introduce that new pattern, we're going to have to live differently for a certain period of time until that new pattern becomes our habit. It becomes our new normal. It becomes our new life. You may have heard about this trendy practice of penance that has been proposed to men in like maybe the past 5 or 10 years, especially to help them overcome sins of impurity, called Exodus 90. And I mention it because I think it's interesting that these men at least have grasped this fact, that if they're going to overcome these habits, they really have to do something that's going to change their life. So there's this Exodus 90 challenge given to men. And men need these challenges. They need to be that's why I'm challenging you. They need these challenges. Men be say, "Hey, look, you need to address this. You need to fix this. I want to set you a challenge. Here's what you need to do. Are you man enough to do this? To do this challenge?" So this Exodus 90 challenge is a challenge to men for 90 days to undergo this 90 days of really intense penance that is going to completely change their habits and everything. And that the idea is if they are able to accomplish it for 90 days and it's really difficult, then when they come out the other side, they are really a different person. They're a new man. You think about the course of our life, how how many years we live. Let's say we live 70 years. How many months is that? That's like 840 months that we have in our life. And if you think, if it's just going to take me 3 months out of 840 to completely change my life and introduce new habits so it'll make me save my soul for all eternity, and that's totally worth it. That's completely worth it. So here are the things that these men do for a period of 90 days. Read assigned readings and reflections each day. Make a holy hour each day. Make a morning offering. Make a nightly examination of conscience. Get enough sleep. At least 7 hours is recommended. Take cold showers. Avoid unnecessary smartphone use. Avoid unnecessary computer use. Give up video games. Give up TV and televised sports. Give up alcohol. No soda or sweet drinks. No snacking between meals. No desserts or sweets. Listen only to music that lifts the soul to God. No unnecessary purchases. Fast on Wednesday and Friday. No meat on Wednesday and Friday. Exercise 3 times per week. Celebrate the Lord's Day. As they say, I mean, these are a lot of things, difficult things. But I assure you, if a man does this for 3 months, he's going to be totally different when he's finished. He's going to be a new man. He's going to have gained a totally new freedom and control over his own life so he can direct himself towards the good instead of being a slave to these sins. So all of those who struggle with sin have to ask themselves, what am I willing to do in order to overcome these habits? We have, as Catholics, presented to us by Holy Mother Church this holy season of Lent, these 40 days, these holy 40 days, in which the Holy Mother Church, she especially asks us to take on penances, to assume penances on the one hand and extra prayers on the other, for our sanctification, to unite ourselves with the passion of our Lord. What are we willing to do in order to overcome our habits of sin? As with all things, our Lord sets the example for us. Of course, our Lord had no sin, so there was no need for him to do penance. And yet, he is our leader. He is our head. And for that reason, he undergoes these 40 days without food or drink, something that's obviously miraculous and completely beyond our capability. And the gospel says that afterwards, he was hungry. He was hungry after not eating or drinking for 40 days. And our Lord, not only he wants to undergo mortification to set us an example, but he also wanted to be tempted. He wanted to experience the same temptations that we experience, especially these temptations we have towards sensuality. You know, this was the opening of the door for Eve. Our Lord wanted to counteract and correct the sin of our first parents by getting the same temptations from the devil and by defeating them. So the devil attracts Eve to this tree. And Eve looks at it and it's so delectable. The Genesis says, she saw that the tree was good to eat and fair to the eyes and delightful to behold. She says, I need that. I want that. And here our Lord is, he hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan is saying to him, change these stones to bread so you can satisfy your hunger. And our Lord's reply is, I live on something higher. Man does not live by bread alone. To set us the example that when we are tempted to impurity, we are able to say, I don't need that to live. I live on something higher. I do not need these impurities. We can live without these sins. We can survive. Even if we've done these sins from our childhood, we can live without them. When we prayed the Stations of the Cross on Friday, we said at the 8th station, My Jesus, I love thee more than myself. This is the main goal of our life, to love our Lord more than ourselves. And we can truly say that this is the case for us when we have broken all of our habits of mortal sin, when we never choose mortal sin over our Lord. We must have this great desire to gain that victory over our sins so that we can be with our Lord for all eternity. Think of what our Lord did for the salvation of your soul, how he shed all of his blood for the salvation of your soul. Our Lord really wants you to be in heaven with him for all eternity. Think of what Our Lady did. She offered her own son at Calvary for our sins. Our Lady really wants you to be in heaven with her for all eternity. We priests, we want all of our faithful here at St. Isidore's to go to heaven one day. So I encourage you to make a very good Lent and keep yourself in the state of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.